Blog Talk Radio.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Network. Derek Felix with you. We'll take you until 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast in New York City. A happy 4th of July weekend, holiday weekend to you, as we bring in a little Beastie Boys to get us started. A lot of stuff happening, basketball, a lot of NBA signings, hockey, a major upset at Wimbledon. We'll get you started in just a bit.
We'll be right back.
was the Beastie Boys classic from the 90s, mid-90s. That would be Sabotage. And this is Derek Felix with Hard Hits Network on a weekend holiday blitz here, 4th of July blitz. How's everybody doing out there? Hope you're all doing very well. Hope you're enjoying at least your weekend and whatever you are planned. Got another good show for you. It's been a pretty busy week. A lot of busy days, especially the last 48 hours now, if you could believe that, as we're on to July 2nd, going to July 3rd here in New York City. That an island that would be for myself. Got some other people that could be calling into the show. We'll see if they call in. Maybe we might hear from some other guests, some usual cast of characters on this show. So NBA free agency has been pretty chaotic so far. It's been hectic. It's been just hectic. From the wacky LA Lakers giving $65 million over 4 years to Timothy Mozgov after midnight. I don't know what the rush was for a guy that couldn't really move and couldn't play for the Cavs, giving him $65 million. It's just been crazy from the get. There are just so many outlandish contracts. And look, I'm not saying that these players shouldn't be paid. They're getting paid, and the cap is going to go up. The floor is going up. So players getting overpaid. So what you're seeing is just teams just going overboard, and there's not really a lot of care how much these players are getting. It's just there aren't a lot of bargains. There aren't a lot of $10 million deals like the 3-for-30 we saw with the Pacers and Al Jefferson, which I think was a solid move. I said that on that night show. What you're seeing is role players getting paid not just top dollar, but just getting paid mega dollars. And it's continuing. It's continuing. It's a theme that's been pretty rampant throughout the NBA. Tonight it was Ryan Anderson, a really good six man, I would say. I'd say he's a six man. I mean, yeah, he could start, but he's really a spot up 3-point shooter, you know, who could rebound the basketball as he did for the Pelicans. He signs a 4-year contract with the Rockets. The Rockets, they just don't really learn. They don't learn. They gave him $20 million a year to shoot 3-pointers. So 4 years, $80 million for Ryan Anderson. That's a lot. They did sign Eric Gordon also. Eric Gordon, who's just off injury. He's never really healthy either. So he got, I think, in the vicinity of, like, a $53 million. And this is what you're seeing. I mean, you're seeing a lot of deals that don't make a lot of sense, a lot of dollars and cents, at least. And the latest, of course, is that the Dallas Mavericks are going to – they intend to sign Harrison Barnes, the restricted free agent from the Golden State Warriors, who had a miserable NBA Finals, to a $95 million contract over 4 years. Why on earth would you give that much money to Harrison Barnes? Is Mark Cuban that desperate? I guess so. I guess when he lost out on Hassan Whiteside, who got the who decided to stay with the Heat, because he likes Miami. So he'll sign Harrison Barnes for $95 million. That's the intention. And then the Warriors would have 7 days to match. And if I'm the Warriors, I don't even bother. I don't bother. Why would you match? Harrison Barnes is a nice player. I like Harrison Barnes. He had a bad NBA final. But that's just craziness. The biggest deal of the day was Al Horford deciding to leave the Atlanta Hawks and goes to the Celtics for 4 years and $100+ million. I think it was $104 million max contract. And hey, the Celtics have themselves quite a team right there. So they're putting together a team, and they were a good team this past year. So definitely look out for them. There were some other moves that were made. An interesting one too, with the New York Knickerbockers. So that's something I'm going to get into as well. Solid move for the New York Knicks that we're going to talk about as well with the New York Knickerbockers. So, and Dwayne Wade, by the way, is still talking to teams as well. So as well as the Kevin Durant, latest with Kevin Durant, he's going to decide in 24 to 48 hours. The Knicks given $50 million to Courtney Lee over 4 years. A nice role player, a nice shooting guard. plays good defense. Yeah, that actually could be a solid move for the New York Knicks. I watched some of their summer league game. It was atrocious. It was atrocious. No fluidity. They got bombed. And they had, and for some stupid reason, insane reason, they had Ron Baker playing point terrible because he's not a point guard. He's a spot-up shooter. But they had no fluidity. But it was the first summer league game. I'm not going to make too big a deal out of the Pistons. We're playing a little better roster. So that's the number is 424-675-8226. 11:44 here on the East Coast, and we go on till 1 o'clock tonight with maybe overtime, maybe not. All right, so JPG, our good co-host, esteemed colleague from Jersey City, is on the line with me right now, and we're going to get into this whole NBA chaos right now. Good evening, John.
What's going on, D-Flex?
Not much. John Gianorio with us. It's always good to hear from you. What do you make of all this chaos that's going on tonight with the NBA? Because there seems to be more outlandish craziness with the signings.
I don't know. I don't feel like anything really that significant has happened yet.
Well, you had Al Horford, of course, deciding he wanted a little more money, so he got it. He went and got it. You know, the $104 million with the Celtics. Celtics are a good team. They have a good team, all right. They think that Al Horford can maybe make them a legit contender. We'll see. Horford's a nice player. You know, we talked about Horford, you know, a lot over the past couple of days. An overachiever. I don't know if he's worth a max contract. But then again, would you give Mike Connolly like $30 million a year just to stay with the Grizzlies? I mean, so even, and Mike Connolly's a good point guard, you know, don't get me wrong. He is. I just don't think I would be paying that kind of money for Mike Connolly. So these are the kind of things that have been happening so far.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not crazy about Mike Connolly, but yeah, contracts are rising.
Well, were they bidding against themselves?
No, Dallas would have signed him. Dallas would have signed him to a max deal.
I'm just being facetious. It's just like I don't understand. You know, I don't understand the logic in some of these moves. But you know, be that as it may, like I said, the salary, the floor, I think it's going up till $94 million. So the teams are just spending and spending and spending. So you have players getting some huge money. Kevin Durant, you know, he's met with a bunch of teams in the Hamptons, celebrating the 4th of July in style, having parties probably until 4 in the morning, drinking gin and juice like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre from the Chronic album, smoking indo, sipping on gin and juice. No, lay back. Anyway.
Is that what you want to be doing right now?
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. That's exactly what I want to be doing. I'm kidding. Without the alcohol liquor part, I don't need the liquor. But, like, with their presentation, at least, you know. I guess they gave themselves a nice presentation. So, and Kevin Durant says he's going to decide in the next 2 days. So, what I think, you know, I think that decision will be made on the 4th of July. How about that? Independence Day.
Oh, like wow. That. Are you excited?
Yeah, I am actually excited. Now, everybody expects Kevin Durant to just decide to opt in and stay with the Thunder. But what if he decides, right? What if he decides that he wants to make a change? He wants to be a rebel with a cause or without a cause. He wants to all of a sudden opt in and then, in a surprise announcement, JPG, he pulls a LeBron James and has his own game show hosted by Fossil reporter Jim Gray. Yes.
I think it should be hosted by Derek Felix on Hard Hits Network.
Of course you do. Of course. I mean, you know, who better to host a fake announcement where all of a sudden he plays you know what they could do? They could like pretend that they're revealing that he's going to stay, and at the final second, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder are crossed out like when you do the strike through thing when you block, because I do that a lot with striking through. Staying. Oh wait, I'm not staying. And then reveal.
See, you're already fully prepared to handle this announcement.
Yep. And then reveals that he's going to the Golden State Warriors in one of the worst moves of all time, just to bore us and just to make us even sadder and madder. So, it's like at this point, I don't know what I mean, man. I mean, Greg Oden, right? Somebody put up a tweet. This is an interesting one. I'm on my Hard Hats Network account. If you want to follow me for this show, at Derek B. Felix. Isn't that easy and simple enough? At Derek B. Felix. And you can follow me. So anyway, somebody put out a tweet. What if on draft day 2007, I told you in less than 10 years, Greg Oden would be out of the league and Mike Connolly would sign for $150 million? That's pretty shameful, isn't it?
Wasn't Connolly was like the fourth overall pick, so
oh, he was
acting
picked
like
high.
It's some acting like it's some yeah, huge
but I mean,
surprise that he's a star player is a little ridiculous.
$150 million, man, for Michael Connolly. You know his dad. You know the story about his dad, right?
His dad is his agent.
Field star. Well, his dad was a great track and field star.
I did not know
that. Yes. You don't know about his dad, do you?
No.
Tell
me all about it. Tell me all about his dad.
Okay. So, his father was a drinker. No, I'm kidding. He set the record, actually, of the longest ever like triple jump in modern history of track and field. The longest long jump, he broke the record in the Olympics. Yeah. He was great. Michael Connolly Sr. was great, actually. He was just terrific. Got the gold medal in Barcelona for the triple jump. It's just a great track and field star with great leaping ability. So, there you have it. I mean, so, yeah. So, where do you think he got his skills from? From his dad, from his father, who wasn't a drinker. He was an achiever and an athlete. And
so, he was not a drinker and a fiend.
He wasn't a drinker or a fiend.
Okay. Just wanted to be clear.
Like a 60% Chris Wassell. Might be.
Wassell is both a drinker and a fiend. That's true.
Yeah, but I think the 60% Chris Wassell also is a drinker.
Oh.
So, yes.
Well, he has been drunk before, yes.
Yes. He was as drunk as Brian has been before, so.
Brian was pretty drunk by the end of that show.
I've never heard Brian like that. It was pretty good. I mean, I have, but,
yeah.
I haven't. I mean, so the Knicks have brought in Courtney Lee, a 5-year deal. Seems like actually 4 years. But it seems like it's a solid deal. You know, solid deal. Does it excite you? Does it thrill you to death?
I feel excited, yeah. And thrilled.
You do?
Both. Yeah.
Of course you do. Because
you, know
you
that,
see the
that,
future.
Oh, the futuristic, I see.
The futuristic was a sandwich that I used to have.
Was it delicious?
Yeah, it was, actually. In honor of Lindsay Richburg, my friend that's been gone for 6 years now. Can't believe it's been 6 years. God. You know, I don't know where the time goes. Yeah. It's pretty sad to think that it's been that long. But, you know, a lot of good came out of it, too. We got to meet his great family. He's got a great brother and a great sister, a great mom. He's got a great family. Yeah, so you have to try to focus on the positives too. You know, it's tough. It's always going to be tough. You know, when you think about the moments that we had as friends, but he has an unbelievable family. So that's good. That's a big time positive. A big time positive. You know. A lot of NBA stuff going on. Just not as much NHL movement today. Today was kind of a light day. Only a couple like signings. Yeah, but like most of like the top guys were signed on the first day, and you had some light signings. Jason DeMere is a second pair defenseman with the Dallas Stars going to the Florida Panthers on a 4-year, $4.5 million per year contract over, I think, for 4 or 5 years. And the Buffalo Sabres making a light trade, adding, by the way, the Sabres are collecting Swedish goalies, JPG. They've decided to be like Swedes. Yes. Like, their starting goalie is a Swede. His name is Robin Lehner. He's 24 years old. They got him from Ottawa last year. They also have on their roster a 22-year-old goalie by the name of, and this is a cool name. I like this name a lot. His name is Linus Ullmark. Linus Ullmark. That's a cool name. And their third goalie now is, his name is Nielsen with two S's, a common Swedish name. So they seem to be Anders Nielsen. They're collecting Swedish goalies. And you know what the best part about it is? The three Swedish goalies, right, are 2 years apart in age. This Nielsen is 26 years old. Lehner is 24, and Ullmark is 22. I guess for their next trick, the Sabres are going to have a Swedish goalie 20 years old in their system. And maybe they'll draft an 18-year-old Swede next year, too, in 2017.
So now they should just trade for Bjorn, and then they'll have all the Swedes.
I think that Swedes need more goalies. Why not?
You mean the Sabres, not the Swedes?
Yes, the Sabres. I just put that in the chat room just to see if I could draw a reaction from Brian. He mentioned Lundqvist. Well, who knows? Maybe in a few years, Lundqvist could be part of that equation. So I wrote two blogs about the Sabres actually today. Yes. Derek Felix is getting it done. NewYorkPuck.com is getting it done. The only thing I have to do now is do another Islanders. I just have to do an Islanders article because the Islanders are really struggling right now. They lost three players. They brought in two players that I like, and they brought in a third player that is, well, let's just put it this way. He's not the scorer he used to be. So it's kind of a desperate move. And my question is, are the New York Islanders really getting better? Are they?
I don't know. Are they?
I'm not so sure, JPG. I was watching NHL Network. You know how Brian was going on his rant yesterday? Where he went on his rant about how, and I think this had to do more with TSN, with the Canadian broadcasters. They don't ever talk about the Sabres or give them credit. Where he went berserk about it, and it was great. It was awesome, actually. The NHL Network is actually doing shows. For the first time in the offseason, they're doing NHL Tonight shows during the week, which means there's going to be NHL shows during vacation time. That's actually a plus. So I was watching their show tonight. They were just like reviewing like the teams that improved so far. They rated the top three teams. The third, you know who came in third?
Who?
And I have to do it in Chris Wassell voice. The New Jersey Devils came in third. They've improved. They're third. The Devils are coming, Derek. They're going to take over the Metropolitan again. So, all right. So they came in third. All right. Coming in second were the Buffalo Sabres. Yes, the Buffalo Sabres are second. And they liked a lot of the stuff that the Sabres are doing, including bringing in former Islander Kyle Okposo on a 7-year contract. You know what Kyle Okposo said? Kyle Okposo says he believes the Sabres can win the Stanley Cup. And he thinks, and this was a kind of a backhanded shot at the Islanders, he thinks the Sabres are going to be closer to reaching that cup before the Islanders do. You know, they're going to be closer to it. They're going to get there quicker. So
because
of the Jack Eichel. Because of the Jack Eichel and the Ryan O'Reilly. Although they do have Evander Kane. He's a troublemaker. And accused of harassing two women in a bar. In a bar. At on June 24th. So, we shall see.
Was one of those women Miss Piggy?
You know, I don't think so. Brian Sanhorn would be proud of that. I just think that it's fun. It's fun times. It is fun times if you like this show. So this is a fun time for me.
Why?
I don't know. I'm having fun. I'm just having a lot of fun right now. With this reference. Why so serious indeed? There's an hour to go on this live portion. I guess what you could call this is a show that started a little late. So we're doing 90 minutes instead of the 2 hours like we did last night. And then back, and what we'll do is we'll go back to an hour, you know, for during the week. So Sunday night, an hour, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, an hour. That's how we're doing it. So there are hour shows, and there will be 2 hours and maybe some 90-minute shows. So that's how we're going to do these shows. And the question is, will Brian Sanhorn demand his 2-hour slot so he could host the show? That's the question. It's a question that we have to ask. Will Brian Sanhorn add his show, JPG? What do you think? Is it going to happen?
I think it'll happen. He sounded serious about bringing back his show.
He sounded pretty drunk to me.
Well, before he was really drunk, he sounded serious.
The climb is real. Brian Sanhorn. The return is coming. Last night, we had Tim Daddio call into our show and break down and break a trade. He made a trade. He was in the mood of July 1. Yeah. Ooh, what happened here? I forgot that the Yankees are playing on the West Coast. Apparently, Rob Refsnyder made a great throw to the plate and recorded an out. I can flip to the channel. It's being reviewed, actually. Oh, the Honeymooners are on tonight. The Honeymooners are on for 2 hours, for like an hour, actually. What channel is the Yankee game on? Is it on Fox? Oh, it is. It's the late game on Fox. Oh, this is bad. Like, all right, so FS1, right? FS1 is Fox Sports 1, JPG.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, this channel does not come in for me. This channel, and this being reviewed, and I'll say he's out. It's a challenge, and it looks to me, if he held the ball, he's out. It's blurry, the picture. But I would say,
how can it be blurry? You have a cable box. I don't understand.
But there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this channel. It doesn't come like it's coming in, but it's coming in blurry. How could that be? You know what? Come to Staten Island and get Time Warner Cable and get digital cable, and you'll have a blurry picture of FS1 because FS1 sucks. Fox Sports Plus.
I'm not coming to Staten Island, okay?
Well, you could come to my house any time, and then you could watch games, and you could see the blurry picture. I would say
I have been to your house once before.
Yes. Yes.
The Felix Slayer, as I call it.
I'd say that he's out. So Rob Refsnyder gets an assist.
Nice.
Good for Rob Refsnyder. He's playing the outfield tonight, actually.
So he's not blocked anymore.
Well, Matt, it was Kemp that was trying to score. Tries to get the hand in. Ooh. See, that replay makes it look like he might have got the hand in. Let's see here.
But they called it out on the field, right? What was the call on the field?
I mean, they called it out on the field. They're going to say out. It looks like they are upholding the ruling.
Yeah, they're going to say they don't have enough evidence to overturn it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say I thought out the first time I saw the replay, and God damn, the replay, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with this channel. It just don't come in. It don't come in. If I put on FS2 comes in, and that's UFC. FS2 comes in fine. It's a perfect, clear picture that comes in. FS1, for whatever reason, right, it's just very weird and blurry and just fades in and out for whatever reason. So if you want to watch UFC fight flashback, you're happy. If you want to watch the Yankee game tonight against the Padres, you're miserable. At least if you live out here and you don't have like a DirecTV or something else.
Well,
you're
miserable. I think if I
lived
in Staten Island, I would already be miserable. So
my MLB app updated, of course, as the Padres tie the Yankees. But I wonder if they're going to say now that the call was reversed, and if they're going to say, I wonder if the app will actually update that the review changed the call. I wonder if the app actually gives you that kind of update. So that's an interesting thing.
You love this app.
Well, this is a great app. This is fantastic. So like, when I was watching, I was flipping between, you know, the Mets Cubs, which I had on. And I was watching some boxing, actually. There was some boxing on. The first match that I watched was pretty good. So it gives me updates, you know. It tells me what's going on. So I could just, like, I saw that Zobrist hit a home run to make it 4-3. Flip right back to the Mets game. Watch Zobrist just smash a ball into the second deck. So that was pretty cool. It's cool. This is a great app. It's just a great app. Oh, and it also told me, right? It told me about CJ Cron. CJ Cron had a monster game tonight in that Angels 21-2 destruction of the Red Sox at Fenway. I think he was 6-for-6, right? He was 6-for-6 and made some history. CJ Cron, a DH for the Angels, a second year player, actually, I think, or a third year player. So, yeah. Rajay Davis had a cycle today. Hit for the cycle, Rajay Davis. And the Indians' win streak is over. They had won 14 consecutive games. And, of course, Rajay Davis is having a monster season. I drafted Rajay Davis, right? He got off to a miserable start. I dropped his oohs. And now Rajay Davis is hitting for cycles. He's got 9 home runs. He's got, like, 20 stolen bases. No wonder my team is in last place and sucking. Oh, man. It's been a long year for my team. Let's just put it that way. You know what? I'm going to send a tweet out about this Fox Sports 1. Horrible job by Fox Sports. Does Fox Sports 1 have a Twitter account?
Probably.
Now, Rajay Davis is in his mid-30s, I think. and he's just been having a great year. He's the first Indian to hit for the cycle since Travis Hafner. So he's the eighth in Indians history to do it, actually. So excellent job by him.
I remember Travis Hafner.
I mean, Travis Hafner was a pretty good player, actually.
He was for just like a couple of years there, yeah.
I have his rookie card, actually. It's actually, you know what it is? It's actually one of those Bulbit's best cards. So, basically, it's a nice card. You know, this was a set that was made, I think, in the early 2000s. I want to say either 2001 or 2002. Okay. And it's just really good. It's just really good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's good. It's just excellent.
The Indians are my solid prediction of the year. Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention too. Very quietly, right? They've very quietly got themselves back into wild card play. The Houston Astros are 5 games over .500. Very quietly, you know, they've quietly snuck up, and they're playing much better. So. Just a little note for you right there. You know, for the, because I thought it looked to me like the Astros were buried, JPJ, and they looked like they were buried. All right. But they have been playing much better baseball. So that is a team to keep an eye on. Okay. That's a team to keep an eye on. Now, I wasn't going to talk about this, but, you know, we've talked a lot of NBA already. But one of the topics, of course, is baseball. And for our third straight night, the Mets defeat the Cubs in another close game.
Oh, gee, I'm surprised you want to talk about this, Derek. Genuinely shocked that you want to talk about this.
4-3 is the final score. This one, you know, Javier Baez, he almost made a great catch on Darnold's game winner, okay? But somebody who was playing center field did not get a good beat on the ball, and it was probably his ball, and it dropped in. That would be Jason Hayward. And that was the
difference. Oh, somebody.
The ball tonight. Yeah, somebody.
You're classic.
Somebody that's got a good war, you know, that's supposed to be, that's making a lot of money. And, you know, let's face it, he's not having a good year. He's not having a good first year so far.
How's Pablo Sandoval doing?
Hey, Pablo Sandoval is doing fine. He's recovering from surgery, and he's probably hanging out with a bunch of people, having some nice Mexican food or maybe some good Spanish food, you know, he's enjoying life. But can we just be honest about Jason Hayward? Whether you want to blame it on the injuries, he's just not had a good year so far. He's been below par so far for the Cubs. Now,
well,
you know,
issue with this is that it seems like you want to talk about some players but not other players.
Well, I was about to talk about a guy that has been way above par and seems to be your best hitter. And I would say he is your best hitter. That would be Ben Zobrist, who is a professional hitter, who has a great approach at the plate, who doesn't miss pitches. He did make the last out tonight, but he hit the home run to cut it to 4-3, and he's been terrific. He's been awesome for the Cubs. Where would the Cubs be without Ben Zobrist this year?
I don't know.
I don't think they would have as many wins. I mean, they have a lot of wins, but Ben Zobrist is a big reason why they have a lot of wins. And John Lester is another reason. John Lester is pitching the final game of this 4-game set. against Syndergaard, who's been really struggling, left at 3 innings in his last start, might be pitching with a bone spur. Hey, Lester's pitching like a Cy Young candidate this year, except that he's in the National League, and there's like a zillion candidates. So Ben Zobrist, yes, his average has dropped under 300, but he already has – that's tonight. If you count tonight's game, I think it's 11 home runs now for Zobrist. And this is a guy that I've always been a fan of, JPG. Since his days with the Rays, you know, it wasn't too long ago that I wanted to see the Yankees trade for this guy. But he would go to Oakland for a year and then, of course, go over to KC and help KC win the World Series.
But he would have been blocking Rev Schneider.
Yeah, but if you had – do you think you have a Ben Zobrist? At least Ben Zobrist is a good player, you know? He's a really good
Starling
player.
Starling
Castro's
a good player.
Who?
Starling Castro.
Yeah, but he doesn't really get on base. I mean, he's a
You told me for years he was a good player.
He's a streaky hitter, okay? But he's not great in terms of OBP. I mean, we would agree there. You know, that
Derek.
No,
all I'm saying is I was told by somebody that he was a great player.
I never said great. I didn't say – you said he was hideous. He's a good player, but he does struggle with the OBP, which you are correct on because he's a free swinger. So that is true. That's true. But you know what? He's played a very solid second base for the Yankees this year. So I definitely like what he's brought to the team. But he's been slumping. He has been slumping lately. So, it happens. But Ben Zobrist, right? You know, Ben Zobrist was actually first in a war and wins above replacement in the AL in 2011. And he's just a really solid player. You know, he's always been a solid player, has Ben Zobrist. So, I'm just giving some credit to where it's due, JPG. The Cubs got him, and great job out of the Cubs getting him. You know, he's been everything that they could want and more. He is signed through 2019, so he'll be 38 by the time it's through, but still. I mean, would you say you're getting your money's worth at the $10.5 million you're paying him this year? I would say so. So, great job out of the Cubs here with Ben Zobrist. 424-675-8226. We go on until 1 o'clock in the East Coast in the morning. It looks like it's just going to be me and you, JPG. Just us two tonight on this chaotic Saturday with Brian Sanhorn saying no, he's not calling in. You know, I wonder why Brian's not calling in. Why wouldn't he be calling in? Do you want to know why I think he's not calling in? You want to know why?
Why?
Well, a guy that I was hoping would still be around Wimbledon is not around anymore. And major upset, actually, today. Big story today. Probably the biggest sports story today. Outside, of course, of Italy doing what they usually do in shootouts in the European Championships. They choked in the shootout to Germany, losing to Germany. And I think that went 9 rounds. I watched it. You know, it was riveting. You know, but you are a former soccer player, right? I mean, you're a former.
I am.
You said you're a former soccer player. So how good were you at taking shots? Do you ever take any shots from like from within that 15 or 20 feet or whatever they're shooting from?
The penalty kick.
A defensive guy. Penalty kicks. Could you kick penalties?
Yeah, I shot penalty kicks. Yeah, I usually shot the penalty kick.
Were you pretty good?
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. You're a former soccer player. In your opinion, right? Flat out.
Yeah.
What is the key to making a penalty kick and beating a goalie, in your opinion?
There's no key. It's basically the goalie's got to guess.
Okay.
Either left, right, or down the middle. And if the goalie guesses right, The goalie's got maybe like a 50% chance of stopping you. There's not a ton you can do. Just
really?
Put it on goal.
Okay.
Yeah, put it on goal.
All right. Well, my question to you. When you took these kicks, did you just do it without hesitation when you took the kick?
Yeah.
Did you know like where you were going to go?
Never think about it. No,
okay.
Never think about it.
Okay, so and this was one of the worst penalty kicks that I've ever seen. Like, a lot of players for both these teams, they hesitated. They did the little hesitation thing. And almost every time they started to hesitate, I'm like, he's not scoring. You know? And there was only one time where a guy hesitated. I think it was on Germany. And Germany needed to score on the kick because they were basically in sudden death a couple of times and they needed to get the kick. You know, I squeaked it through. So the point being is that I don't understand why so many of these guys hesitate. We should just you have to just go in, know where you're gonna go up and just take that shot. You know, and I was very disappointed. There were so many like bad misses in this JPG. It was pretty bad. It was bad for kicks. So it was just something that I noticed here. You know, because I like watching the kicks, and I was pretty disappointed with what I saw. You know, just there was a lot of hesitation, and I couldn't really figure out why. So just something to make a note of with the kicks. Some notable players, actually. One of the best players of Germany, he had a terrible miss. I know the name. I can't think of the name right now. But he Muller. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the Muller guy. He took one pretty early. It was awful. It was pretty awful. It was Thomas Muller. It was really bad. Ah. You had guys that were missing. Some guys, right? They missed the kick over the net, like way over the net. Something that happened to. What's his name from Argentina? Everybody says he's the best player, and he choked earlier in this tournament. So, I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, I think you just have to make, you know, I'm talking about Macy, but you have to make the move. You have to make the move, and you got to take it and just show confidence. And that was actually not. I'm sorry. That was against Chile last week, actually. So that was against Chile last week in the Copa America tournament in the championship game. But so, oh, just something. You know, I wasn't gonna throw it out there, but I decided to because I watched it. But major story today: Novak Djokovic lost at Wimbledon. Novak Djokovic. He had a 30-match winning streak, JPG, in the major tournaments, which means – and he won the last four slams. So that means he won French Open. He won the Australia. He won the first two of this year. He won last year's U.S. Open and Wimbledon. So he won four in a row. And that's called a – it's like a – it's a – it's a – it's called a – it's a slam. It's like a slam where you win four in a row. But – nobody had won a calendar year Grand Slam on the men's side since Rod Laver. Rod Laver did it in 1969. And my dad still swears that he's the greatest player he ever saw. Well, Novak Djokovic is the world number one player. He's the best player in tennis in the world. And I set the Sanhorn this year. I made a prediction at the beginning of the year. I felt that he was going to win all four. He was going to do it. He was going to make history. Didn't think anybody could beat him. And Andy Murray has faced him a couple of times and lost. I really felt strongly about this, that it was going to happen, that he was going to do it. He was going to make the history. Even Roger Federer couldn't do it. Rafael Nadal couldn't do it. Pete Sampras never won in French Open. He couldn't do it. But I felt strongly. Well, Novak Djokovic lost the first two sets. It's been raining at Wimbledon, JPG, all week. So there's been all these rain delays. They played this on court one. The first two sets were won by Sam Querrey, an American who hasn't really had a great career. But he's a big server, and he has servers on, and he hits the big forehand. Well, Djokovic, when they were continuing the match today after the rain. So I was thinking, well, Djokovic could come back from two sets down. He did it last year against Kevin Anderson in the same Wimbledon tournament last year in the fourth round, and he came back and then he won the tournament. Going to come back and win, you know? So he won the third set, and the fourth set went to a tiebreak. And Djokovic actually had a chance to serve for the fourth set, but he blew it. He blew it. And it went to a tiebreak, and I'm just thinking, you know, he's going to find a way to get this tiebreak, and he's going to win. But he made errors. He actually felt the pressure, JPG. The great Serbian player felt the pressure. He missed some shots that he doesn't usually miss. And when he fell behind 6-4, it wasn't until he fell behind 6-4, which gave Querrey, a 28-year-old American that hasn't had a great career, but is ranked 42nd in the world, that I said, oh, my God, he could lose. He actually might lose. He served an ace to save the first match one. And then during a rally, he missed a forehand way wide, and I was like, oh, my God, he lost. He lost in four sets. And this is a mammoth upset, okay? Let me put it this way, JPG. Odds makers, right? Even with Querrey winning the first two sets, the odds makers, I guess, in London, still put Djokovic as a favorite, a 3-1 favorite to come back and win the match, to win three sets in a row, or to win, yeah, to win three sets in a row and come back. So, lost in the third round. And that's it. That's it. His 30-match win streak is over. He lost. And you know what? They interviewed him. Novak Djokovic is everything that's right in sports. He gave his opponent credit. He said that Querrey played it well. He's a sportsman, you know. Losses happen. He also said that somebody asked him in the press, like the British press asked questions where they have the press conference, and they asked, right, you know, were you 100% healthy? You know, he won the French Open last month. He said he didn't want to answer it, but he also said that he wasn't. He said not he wasn't, but he said he didn't want to use it, you know. He wasn't. So I just think that, you know, he lost this match. He's a great player, but he's also a champion. And I like the way he handled the loss. It was a big – this – I really – you know what? Unbelievable that he lost. But, hey, good for American tennis, Sam Querrey. Sam Querrey has had a pretty tough career. He's had injuries. That's a mammoth upset. So, I don't talk a lot of tennis, but I had to bring it up because this is Sehorn's guy, and I love Djokovic too, and he's out, JPG. So, he's out. And I know you are a big tennis fan. You're a huge tennis fan, aren't you? Mr. Giadoro, a big tennis fan?
Yeah, I love the tennis.
Did you hear about this upset, though?
No, I don't really care about this.
Watch SportsCenter. I mean, hell.
I don't watch SportsCenter. I don't like ESPN.
That's it? You're anti-ESPN? You know what?
You think I'm pro-ESPN because you're anti-ESPN.
You know what? I have an idea for you. You know what I just noticed about you? You are more anti-ESPN than Brian Sanhorn.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think there should be a new show on the Hardhits Network. You know? I think there should be a show on the Hardhits Network. New show. Debuting. Hosted by you. Hosted by John Giadoro.
What
do you think, JPG?
What kind of show?
I think it should be a show that it should be the anti-ESPN show part two.
Oh, man.
I hate ESPN. I hate ESPN by JPG. Oh, my God. Boarding competition is coming back in 2 days.
What?
July 4th at Nathan's Hot Dogs, the sporting event. of a lifetime, JPG. Are you ready?
No.
Are you ready for the hot dogs? For the most disgusting event that ever existed.
You are right. It is the most disgusting.
Yes. Well, how do like professional food eaters live? Like, how
do they live? What do you mean?
How could you eat all those hot dogs or all whatever they eat?
Oh,
I mean, how do
you do
it?
You really want to know how they do it?
I do want to know how they do it.
They train like any other athlete does.
Well, they do, but how do you survive that?
They train. They train to be able to eat like that. The human body is an amazing thing.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, so they train.
Yeah, I guess, but still. I don't know how can a body take that kind of punishment? Eating all those hot dogs or whatever they're eating. Hey, just think, man. I got a question. When is the first candy apple competition going to be? Let's do it. All you can eat candy apples. What do you say?
You versus me?
Do it. Let's form our own candy apple union. What do you say?
You should be saving your appetite for the shoes and socks that you may need to eat.
Yep. Yeah. Candy apple. What do you think?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, Flex?
I'm tweeting.
Oh, I could tell that you were distracted.
All you can eat. Candy apple contest. And we need a sponsor. We need a sponsor, don't we? Don't you think we need a sponsor for this? Who do you think the sponsor should be?
The sponsor should be the vertical on Yahoo Sports. Woj. Get Woj to sponsor us. Yes.
I think the sponsor should be Coca-Cola or something with candy or something, whoever makes this, anything that has to do with like, or maybe like sponsored by, I don't know. what do you think? We need a sponsor. You got to have a sponsor. You're going to have a contest, don't you think so?
I told you who the sponsor should be.
You want it to be the vertical.
Woj, yes.
Can I ask why did Yahoo think it was such a good idea to all of a sudden call themselves the vertical?
Because Woj demanded it.
What is the point of having to call yourself the vertical? It's the stupidest thing that they've ever done. And here's a tweet that I have to agree with. A tweet from Delia Enriquez. Why did the Yankees give away Yengervis Solarte again? Oh, right, for Chase Headley. Ah, yes, Chase. The gift that keeps giving. The gift of Chase. And, well, he signed for another couple of years. You have to love it, JPG. The great Chase Headley. Yes. A player who had one fluke year with the Padres, where he finished like in the top, I think, three or four for MVP. Yeah, he's just, you know, Chase Headley has got his average almost to .250 now after he was, so he's been hitting better. He's still entering tonight, had 21 RBIs. That's just awful, JPG. That the magnitude of how awful that is, we're almost halfway through the season. That's so awful. Oh my god, that really is awful.
You just love to complain.
I do. If you are a tennis fan, though, Derek Felix is going to do a. I'm going to do a podcast on Wimbledon with Novak Djokovic being eliminated so early, who I think will win Wimbledon. So it might surprise you. It might surprise you, but stay tuned for our podcast. It's going to be coming sometime tomorrow. And I'm going to give you my take on what this loss does and what makes it significant. Novak Djokovic being knocked out of Wimbledon. And who benefits and who my surprise winner is for this tournament. On the men's side, okay? So that's something you could tune into, and I will be doing some more podcasts. I'll be giving some fresh takes. I might be doing some fresh takes on some hockey as well, on maybe even some stuff on which teams have really improved, you know? And NBA, like the New York Knickerbockers, JPG, New York Knicks could be a better team than the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden this year. How's that sound to you?
Oh, that would drive you crazy, wouldn't it? Because you don't like when the Knicks are the center of attention.
The one thing you don't understand about me, what have I said before about the New York Knicks? What have I said about the New York Knickerbockers before that I've been repeatedly saying lately? And I've been saying it for a while.
Tell me.
I'll give you a hint. When it comes to my sports teams, what have I said about the New York Knicks?
Tell me.
I have repeatedly said that the last, I guess, 4 Yankee championships for the Knicks to win 1 NBA title. That's how much
well,
I like
because
the
one of the much. Championships involved A-Rod, so that makes sense.
No. Wrong again. But it's a nice try on your part. I give you credit. You're relentless. You're relentless. I'm an A-Rod fan.
Are you?
Yep. I am.
Oh, okay.
You know who deserves the credit for Didi Gregorius being the player he is?
Who?
That's a hunt. That is 90% A-Rod.
He's a wily veteran.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think Gregorius is such a good hitter?
A-Rod.
Has a lot to do with A-Rod. Yep. A-Rod helped him out last year. Now Didi's blossoming. You know, I even voted for Didi Gregorius on one of my All-Star ballots.
You were able to slip him in with all the Red Sox that you voted for?
Hey, I voted for Beltran, too.
I did see that, because you want him traded to the Cubs.
The more likely scenario for Carlos Beltran is he winds up on a team like the Indians, maybe a team like the Orioles, you know, they don't really need him. Or maybe even a team like the Texas Rangers, but where it could DH or, you know, it could help them.
If these teams don't need him, why do you keep proposing that they trade for him?
Because he's proven.
But if they don't need him, then why trade for him, even if he is proven?
They need him. They do need him.
You just said they don't need him.
They do need him.
Oh, Derek, you're so crazy.
Chicago Cubs need Carlos Beltran.
You know what you need?
An ass kicking?
An ooze kicking, yeah. A one-legged ooze kicking contest.
You know who randomly instant messaged me today on Facebook?
Who?
Eugene.
What did he say?
He just had one response, right? He said, LOL, oh, fick. He just responded to me, like, I don't know, for the first time. And then I just laughed at him and gave him a thumbs up. and then that was it.
So you two didn't really talk?
Eugene's weird. I don't know.
Invite him back to the chat.
You want me to?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you realize Rob Davis will probably go berserk if I invite him to the chat.
Let him go berserk.
All right, fine. I'll do it.
I'll do it now,
since you demanded it.
Do you know how stupid this is?
Yeah, I do know how stupid it is.
He's just going to get himself tossed out very quickly.
I know.
But you're the one who decided that this was an idea. You decided that this
yeah,
you
I'll
want
take
this
credit. I'll take the blame. I'm fine.
Okay. Well, Rob Davis has been pretty quiet today anyway. So maybe this will wake up Rob Davis. The question is, will Eric Freeman or Eugene talk? That's the question. That's the big question. Will he talk? Jose Altuve's got 14 home runs now.
What?
What a monster season. Yeah. This Yankee game is still blurry. This is the worst channel I have ever seen.
I don't understand how cable can be this bad.
Do you want to see a picture of it?
Yeah, send me a picture of it.
I will send you a picture of this. This is a disaster.
A Dell-zaster?
Wait, now the picture cleared up. That's odd. It clears up, and now it's going back to being blurry. It, like, goes from being good to being weird. So right now, it's good. Now it's starting to blur up again. Now it's good again. Okay. And you could see, like, you see that top thing at the top? That's what you could see, like, it's starting to blur. Like, let me try to send you a picture where it's really bad. Now it's coming up. That's a good picture. It goes from good to bad, from bad to good, back to bad. I don't know. And I don't know how to explain why it's like this. It's just bad for some reason, you know?
It is.
Very quietly, Freddie Freeman has 14 home runs for the Braves. Very quietly, he does. What if Freddie Freeman played on a good team?
Then he wouldn't be Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman has like 30 RBIs total. The 14 home runs.
Excellent.
That's sad. And he's been hitting for a while. Is that Andrew Miller out there? It is Andrew Miller. Yeah. Andrew Miller. Yeah. So what else is going on, man?
The same as always, man.
Yeah. Danny Espinosa has 16 home runs for the Nationals. That is another player who's having a better year than Bryce Harper.
I thought you loved Bryce Harper and said he was better than Mike Trout.
What happened to him this year? Maybe I was right. Maybe last year was a fluke by Bryce Harper. Maybe really.
You never said it was a fluke.
Well, I didn't expect him to just go from, like, you know, hitting what he hit last year to hitting like 250 or whatever he's hitting. I mean, I don't think anybody expects that. No, did we?
I don't know. I said Mike Trout was the best player in baseball.
Hey, Carlos Beltran, right? 299, 19 home runs, 53 RBIs in 75 games coming up tonight. 340 OBP, 960 OPS. You're telling me he can't help a team?
No, I told you the Cubs don't need him.
The Cubs need him.
Shut up.
Did you see the Harrison Barnes like contract that he's supposed to get?
Yeah, I saw it.
Mark Cuban might be one of the worst owners that ever existed.
Yeah.
You know? He might be.
Succulent Harrison Barnes.
Would you match that offer sheet?
I don't know if I would, but they're going to.
You really think so? Why would they match that?
They're going to. I'm just telling you, they're going to.
But why?
If they don't sign Kevin Durant, they're going to match that.
They're not going to get Kevin Durant anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
if they don't, they're going to match that deal.
It's like it's almost $25 billion a year, I think. Well, not 25, but almost. I don't understand. That's too much money. You know? It's too much money, son. Don't match it. Don't bother. I want it.
They're going to.
424-675-8226. Hard hits here. On a weekend blitz, a lot of NBA, a lot of some National Hockey League stuff, a little baseball stuff, and we mixed in some tennis for JP Jesus. And the Yankees are tied with the Padres 1-1 in a pretty meaningless game. Don't tell Randy Levine that, though, JPG. He thinks the Yankees are contending for something.
Come on.
But they are contenders, aren't they? You know what I can't understand? Rob, how you really thought the Yankees could beat the Houston Astros last year in that one game. Can't seem to understand why you would think that.
Wait, why I would think what?
That the Yankees stood a chance to make a run last year when they made the playoffs.
Of course they did. Of course they did. So you're saying it's impossible that they could have beaten the Astros. 0% chance.
I'm not saying 0%.
What percent?
I'm just saying if I had to give a percentage on that game, 70 to 30 in favor of the Astros.
Okay, so they had a 30% chance of winning. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. You know, if you ask my father, he probably would have said 90 to 10 or 80 to 20.
No, baseball games are never 80-20. It was 70-30 maybe. We'll go with that.
And the Yankees
were
the
home
team.
65-35.
Tech right there by Will Myers is a first baseman now. Brother. Will Myers could probably become a good first baseman because he'll probably hit a lot. You know? He'll probably hit it enough to be a first baseman where he can be a first baseman for a while. Remember when he was supposed to be an outfielder? Like a top outfielder? So
I
much
do.
For that. Yeah, now he's just a first baseman.
So much for yours.
He's having a big year, though. 19 home runs. 12 stolen,
a lot of home
stolen
runs.
Bases. 12 out of 14 on stolen bases. Pretty good.
57 nice.
RBIs, man. On a team that sucks. The Padres are pretty bad. They are pretty bad. You know, Matt Kemp's got some pretty good numbers, too. So, I mean, they have a couple of guys that hit.
You know it's still a dumb trade, even though he plays first base, right? It was a dumb trade. You can say it. Teams make dumb trades, even teams that we love.
Even teams that win World Series.
Teams that we love make dumb trades. Was he even on the team when they won the World Series?
He wasn't. I don't think he was on them, actually.
No, he wasn't, actually.
James Shields, Liddell, can't even pitch. Went from being Big Game James to...
I never understood that nickname, to be honest. He never won a big game in his life. Actually, that's pretty mean. I shouldn't say that. I think that I am pretty harsh. You know, when it comes to players, they're athletes and they do put their bodies on the line. So, I should be a little more respectful. You know.
You should.
I shouldn't fall into the whole media thing where you just bash players. I shouldn't do it.
Probably not.
Yeah. No, I think there's too much of that, to be honest.
There's too much of it.
Did you hear what happened with Dan Boyle?
No, what happened?
Oh, God. You know what? I'll send you the video. It's great. So, the beat writer who covers the Rangers, who's been covering the Rangers for, like, ever, is Larry Brooks. You heard of Larry Brooks? He's an annoying reporter. He's like the most annoying reporter in the universe. So basically he received a lot of criticism, did Dan Boyle. So Dan Boyle embarrassed him. He embarrassed him. That was pretty good. This is not the first time that Larry Brooks got trashed. Tortorella has embarrassed him too. I'm linking it up to you, and you know what? I can understand Larry Brooks. He could be a little annoying, and a lot of these reporters now they just write articles bashing these players and. Yeah. But here's something. Guns N' Roses lead guitarist Slash says it's surreal that the band is touring. Nice. Nice. All right. Good. Yeah. It's been going pretty well for them. So congratulations on that. It's going really well for Guns N' Roses right now. Good. Do you know what Slash's real name is? Real first name?
What?
Saul Hodson. Let's do it.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Little, do you know what Axl Rose's real name is? Can you get that one?
No.
William Bailey. Yeah. See?
You're a trivia expert.
I do have some knowledge, man. Knowledge is power. Oh, man. I gotta say, I'm disappointed in the big man tonight. Disappointed me. But that's okay. That's okay.
Oh, boy.
It happens. The big man just, yeah. See, I liked what Dan Boyle did. When you get a chance, watch the video. I like it. I like what he did. He basically went off. Somebody by the name of John Tortorella on YouTube commented on this video. It's not really John Tortorella, but they have a picture of John Tortorella and pretended to be John Tortorella commenting. That's pretty funny.
Perfect.
The Yankees just lost again to the Padres. A walk-off home run. Melvin Upton Jr. BJ Upton has 13 home runs this year? Wow. Who gave it up? The Panthers?
Chapman?
Well, I can f-ing tell you to get the f- out if I want to.
Oh, Andrew Miller.
What are you listening to?
Andrew Miller is having a great year.
I want him out and the other f-ing clown, or whatever f- his name is. Where's he at? Everyone else is fine.
So Melvin, yeah, since he changed his name back to Melvin up to JPG, he's been doing better. I didn't realize he had 13 home runs. So, hey, Randy Levine, the Yankees are about to get swept by the Padres. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That's pretty funny. That's pretty fucking funny. I mean, really. In some way, Randy Levine probably still thinks this is the team's contender. Man! I mean, Melvin up junior man.
Man, Melvin.
Melvin up there, man.
Oh,
wow,
the Warriors are signing one of your favorites.
Wow. Upton hit that. He hit like an uppercut. He took an uppercut swing, right? It really travels. Oh, man. I mean, he, like, one-handed it, kind of, and the ball went into, like, the third deck. Wow. How about that? That was a shot. You said the Warriors sighted one of my favorites. What do you mean by that? Do I even want to know
guess.
What you mean?
They're signing one of your favorites.
Must be a gritty guy, probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
A former Superman of the Year.
Jamal Crawford?
It is.
They're signing him? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. How old is he, 37? 37 years old. Well, actually, 36. Be 37 next year. That's an interesting move. Oh, what's this? I just found something very interesting. Ah, here we go. I found something you'll like. All right, so there's 2 minutes left in this live portion. Mike Trout took to the skies today to propose to his girlfriend, actually. So,
wow.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. He took to the sky to propose to his now fiance, Jessica Cox, who's probably like a model or something. So, actually, no, they've been dating since high school. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. Great. So,
since they lived in Cox, Jersey together.
Yeah, since they've been from New Jersey. I think that's awesome. Oh, good for him. 24-year-old guy off $144 billion contract, man. That's pretty cool. Oh, good for him. Mike Trout's a winner. It's too bad that he plays on the Angels. Yeah. You know,
Dan Boyle to Larry Brooks. Nice.
Oh, what are you going to watch it now?
I'll watch it after the show's over.
Go ahead. Show's about to end anyway.
It was a good show.
A little disappointing that Mr. Sanhorn wasn't part of it, but tomorrow will be another show. It'll be a little earlier, maybe like 9 or 10. But thank you for being part, as usual, of our show. And
yes.
We'll see you all tomorrow night. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Good night, Mr. Felix.
Good night, Mr. Gianoro. Good night.